The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency? Yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Does well, good afternoon and welcome to the Tokens Radio Show. Today is Sunday, March the 26th, and we're coming to you live from KCNR Studios in Redding, California. My name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
And we have Liam in the booth, our esteemed producer. Our lovable Liam.
Good afternoon.
Our loyal producer. We love having you. Yeah. Kind-hearted
Thank
person.
You.
Good afternoon, he said. It was so soft
yes.
and easy.
He's there running
the
board.
It's tiredness yeah. is what it is.
Well, we're going to have a smooth broadcast with, you know, those 35 cuts that we have there for you.
Yeah, so stay tuned, people. We got a lot of stuff coming your way in a short period of time.
So if you missed any of our previous shows, they're available in at our archives, if I can get that out, at tokensradioshow.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Telegram at Tokens Radio Show. And if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 530-605-4567 or hop into the chat room, which is currently open. And if you're following cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin is currently at $27,901. Ethereum is at $17.69. XRP is on the way up at 45 cents, and XLM is at 9 cents. Well, thanks for tuning in, and let's get started with today's show.
All right.
And if we could play cut one, please. Oh, we're getting
Sorry,
to
I'm hitting play. I'm trying to get this.
All right.
All
no
right.
problem.
Well,
oh, we have a.
Do we have it?
Our affiliate
this
partner.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Pearson Construction. Pearson Construction, Excavation, and Fire Cleanup are your post-fire cleanup and storm damage experts. With wildfires and winter storms continuing to devastate Northern California each year, their mission is to help fire and storm victims with all stages of post-fire cleanup, storm damage repair, and construction. We work with your insurance and county building division to guide you through every step of the process. Pearson Construction has been known as an all-inclusive builder taking our clients' projects from beginning to end. They draw your building plans, pull your county permits, and prepare your building site, including all necessary underground work. Then we make all your dreams come true, building your custom home, including your barn. Contact Luke Pearson at Pearson Construction Excavation and Fire Cleanup at 530-605-9575 or at lpearsonconstruction.com.
All right, and we are back. So, real quick, I know we got a fast-paced show coming here. Crypto speak. Excuse me. So, this week I picked halving. You know, and it took a long time for me to get this in my brain. And finally, about, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, it finally clicked exactly what halving meant and what it does for Bitcoin. So, here we go. Bitcoin halving refers to an event that occurs approximately every 4 years in Bitcoin network. It is a pre-programmed event that reduces the reward for mining new Bitcoin blocks in half. The purpose of the event is to control the supply of Bitcoin and ensure that its value does not become inflated by an overabundance of new coins. The first Bitcoin halving occurred in 2012 when the mining reward was reduced from 50 Bitcoin per block to 25 per block. The second occurred in 2016 when it was half of the 25 to 12.5. The most recent halving occurred in May of 2020. It took half of the 2.5, so now you're down to 6.25.
Right. Then we're going to, what, 3 1/8?
Yeah. So I guess because of everything that's happening in the banking system, and we're talking about supply and demand and everything, like I say, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, finally clicked on me exactly what this means for Bitcoin.
Yes, and it also puts supply out over, let's say, not a regulated, because it's not regulated, but it's dispersed over a period of time, right, through the halving process. And it will exhaust, I believe, in 2130-something.
Yeah.
Well beyond our lifetime.
Right. So it makes it very difficult and expensive for the new Bitcoin.
Oh, it does.
To happen.
Yes. And that's how, when people don't understand how it can increase in value, it's going to be becoming more and more scarce. I mean, with over 19 million coins out there already, there's less than 2,000 left in supply.
Right.
Yeah.
So it puts your perspective, or did mine, like I said, it finally clicked and went, ah, I got it. I got it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yep. Thank you very much. Okay. So there you have it.
Wow. A lot's been going on in the news. It's just, wow. It's
okay.
Incredible.
So one of the first things was Do Kwon, I think is how you say the name, was nabbed in Montenegro.
Right.
Kwon is the disgraced founder of blockchain platform Terra USD stablecoin and its sister coin Luna. As you recall, the collapse of these coins last May wiped out $40 billion from the crypto market, setting off a panic across the sector. Several countries have been looking for this guy. Evidently, he was arrested with counterfeit documentation. Imagine that. We don't just counterfeit everything. We do doc, too.
IDs, passports, you name it.
Ah, sound familiar for some people? I wonder if he'll be waiting trial while he plays with his favorite video game and will be living in a large plush digs like Sam. Maybe he's in the Bahamas.
I don't know. It seems like he's in the jail. I don't know if he's going to get the same treatment as Sam.
Maybe not.
I don't know. Well, could the Fed be behind the collapse of Silvergate, Silicon Valley Bank, and Signature Banks to bring down crypto? The Twitter feed is buzzing about this, and stories are surfacing as we speak. We're going to research them and bring the story to you next week, but it seems compelling. It's a very interesting chain of events.
So moving on Wednesday, the Federal Reserve increased interest rates by 0.25%, despite the possibility of a banking crisis looming. Imagine that. The Fed took this step to counter-react inflation, which has persisted stubbornly, as reported by Wall Street Journal. The Fed chair, Jerome Powell, had previously indicated the rates could climb beyond 5.25%, given the current economy growth trend. Powell finds himself in a difficult position, with a choice between a rock and a hard place. Sorry, I'm watching a couple different things. If he had opted out for a pause and rate hikes, it could have caused more anxiety regarding our financial crisis. Instead, by sticking to the plan rate hike, it reflects a stay-the-course mentality. The move may impede the economy's progress, but it will also decrease the amount of free printed money the government issued during the pandemic.
Can you play cut three, please?
Money, 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 must be funny in this fiat world.
Yeah, there you go. A little warm-up there.
Okay.
Well, a recent working paper by the National Bureau of Economic Research has found that none of the big banks, including J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley, can survive a bank run even for 30 days. Oh, my goodness. That's not good. Lawrence Ball from the Department of Economics at Johns Hopkins University, who conducted the study, notes that this negative finding is particularly evident for Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. Aren't these banks all, like, too big to fail?
Yeah, that's kind of what we've heard, right?
What's
happening? That's not what's happening.
Yeah, our banking system is okay. The revelation.
It's stable.
Exactly. The revelation suggests that the crisis may not be over, and there are concerns about the effectiveness of stress tests carried out on smaller banks. President Joe Biden used his veto power for the first time to block a Republican-led bill that aimed to overturn a federal rule allowing retirement plan advisors to factor in ESG criteria.
Yeah.
He expressed concern that the bill would jeopardize people's retirement savings by outlawing the consideration of risk factors disliked by certain House Republicans. The House is scheduled to vote on Thursday to try to override the veto, and I don't believe that even made it to the floor.
Okay, meanwhile, Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, expressed disapproval of President Joe Biden's decision to veto a bill that aimed to override the Labor Department's radical environmental and social justice, the ESG regulations, which could have jeopardized the whole country's energy economic stability. The ESG regulations would have given money managers the ability to consider factors such as climate change when managing their investments in retirement funds. Although the legislation has passed by both the House and Senate, it would require a two-thirds vote to override the veto, which seems like that's not going to happen currently. Here is what presidential hopeful Vivek Ramaswamy is, I'm not sure how you
Ramaswamy.
Ramaswamy has to say about the
He's
whole
a
thing.
Firebrand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to get rid of ESG, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. But this is about something even deeper than that, Stuart. It's about deception. Because you ought to know something funny about that rule, the Biden rule that the Department of Labor proposed last summer. The draft rule said they would at least have to disclose it to retirees prominently to say that they were using environmental or social factors when investing their money. Well, by late last year, when the rule got finalized, they dropped the disclosure requirement. And they said that that was because it would have a chilling effect on the use of ESG factors. What does that mean? It means if you tell people you're using environmental and social factors to invest their money, people don't want you to actually use those factors. They just want to make as much money as possible with their retirement accounts. Well, what Biden did is he vetoed a bipartisan effort, included Democrats, that said that that rule should be rescinded. Biden nonetheless vetoed it, so it's now the law of the land that retirement fund managers can indeed use these one-sided environmental and social and cultural agendas to inform how they invest your money, and that's a loss both for capitalism as well for democracy. It's a loss for America.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
You know, pension plans, investment advisors, they're there to make sure that your money, that they make as much money as they can possibly make for you. That's called a fiduciary relationship.
That's what they were designed for, but that's not what they're doing.
I don't recall any kind of fiduciary relationship kind of documentation I ever saw, like in the real estate side of things, ever mention ESG had to play into it. Just saying.
Yeah. Why would it?
So there you are. So Signature Bank has been renamed Signature Bridge Bank.
Well, there's a lot of difference in that one.
And they'll be transferring its non-cryptocurrency deposits to Flagstar Bank, a subsidiary of New York Community Bank Corp, started last Monday. It's important to note that Flagstar Bank's acquisition deal only covers the non-cryptocurrency deposits and not the approximately $4 billion worth of cryptocurrency deposits held by Signature.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Which was a crypto bank.
Okay. Yes, so we'll do the fiat, but not the crypto.
Just a little digression. That's going to tie into, you know, this rumor going around that did the Fed have something to do with bringing down Signature?
I don't know. It had nothing to do with CBDCs or anything.
Well, no. The Fed now, maybe. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has confirmed that customers with a digital banking account will have their cryptocurrency deposits transferred directly to them. On the other hand, the depositors of Signature Bridge Bank, except those associated with the digital banking business, will be smoothly integrated as depositors of Flagstar Bank. Their accounts will be insured up to the insured limit by the FDIC.
Sure, well.
Flagstar Bank, headquartered in Michigan, will take over $38.4 billion in non-cryptocurrency deposits and $12.9 billion in loans previously held by Signature Bank. So they basically fleeced them for what they wanted and got rid of the things they didn't. So all 40 branches of Signature Bank will now operate under the name of Flagstar Bank, which has been around for a long time, and all deposits assumed by Flagstar will be insured up to the $250,000 insurance limit or whatever Joe Biden decides.
Right, and you don't have to worry about it because now the money's in Flagstar Bank and it's all good, right?
Yeah. Nothing to worry about here.
No problem. Okay, on Friday, the Deutsche Bank shares experienced a sharp drop after the cost of insuring the bank's debt against the risk of default rose to more than four-year highs. This has raised concerns among investors about the stability of Europe's banks, which have had a rough week with the state-backed rescue of Credit Suisse and turmoil among regional U.S. banks. Deutsche Bank shares fell by as much as 14.9%. I can't imagine why. To their lowest point in 5 months, losing more than a fifth of their value this month. The bank's credit default swaps, a form of insurance for bondholders, surged above 220 basis points, the highest since late 2018 from 142 basis points just 2 days ago.
Do you remember CDSs?
Yes.
Yeah, they were kind of a problem back in the Great Recession as
yeah.
well. So anyway.
And here we go with our cut five.
Been talking all morning about how we see weakness in European banking, and once again that is weighing on the European stock story. Let's focus in on what we're seeing there, because Deutsche Bank certainly to the forefront here. It is the worst performing of these banks this morning. Deutsche Bank down by 11.1%, as you can see, intraday. What is driving this? Well, some of our colleagues linking the moves we're seeing in CDS here and suggesting we've seen a spike up in CDS. Deutsche Bank shares slumping as CDS jumps. So this is the cost of insuring against default over at Deutsche Bank. As we head into the weekend, a sense that investors are trying to de-risk portfolios, perhaps, and wary of what can happen over weekends, as we've seen over recent ones.
Wow, she had some coffee, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
It was but CDS.
She was in a real big hurry to get it out over there and really quick.
Well, the point of it is, they're messed up over there.
Yeah, they're having a slight little problem in their banking system over there.
Now, didn't Deutsche Bank just take over Credit Suisse, and now Deutsche is under stress? I think we reported on that last week.
So, yeah, exactly. How do they, you know, do you see a pattern going here?
Mm.
I buy this bank or this credit thing, and then I'm in trouble, and you got to buy me, and then...
You ever play dominoes?
Yeah, but my dominoes can stand up and get knocked all over, you know.
Oh,
but,
my goodness. Let's see. Merchants in the European Union are preparing for a future without cash as new regulations may require the adoption of the digital euro. Here it's coming.
We just said mm-mm.
Despite facing resistance in the United States, there is growing support for the implementation of a central bank digital currency, a CBDC, in the form of the digital euro. The European Central Bank has not yet made a definitive decision on the issuance of its CBDC, but it is expected to be announced in the autumn. In the meantime, EU officials are actively working on finalizing the proposal, addressing technical considerations, and setting priorities. Now, the EU are officials who are not elected officials.
Oh.
Right.
You mean kind of like the Reserve Bank?
They just represent a trading bloc of countries that have elected officials, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
It's a good place to start it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. A federal judge, Terry A. Dottery, injected a motion to dismiss a First Amendment lawsuit across the U.S. government of participating in censorship in the case Missouri versus Biden. The lawsuit alleges that at least 11 federal agencies and sub-agencies, including the CDC and DHS, colluded with social media companies to censor individuals and doctors, including J, and I don't even want to try.
Bhattacharya.
Okay, thank you. Martin Koldorf, Aaron
Cariati,
and Jill Hines.
These are big-time doctors.
Right.
We have seen them in this whole coronavirus mess.
Right. Just because they can't say their name. But they've been at the center, and so they're trying to censor them, showing censorship. No. The NCLA represented these doctors and Hines and claimed that the censorship regime included blacklisting, shadow banning, downranking, and throttling. Judge Dottie allowed the case, to proceed, citing past censorship and substantial threat of future censorship. The NCLA welcomed the ruling as an important victory for free speech in the United States, and the lawsuit into social media censorship collusion will continue.
Don't you remember this was a conspiracy theory that there was shadow banning and censorship?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
That it wasn't really going on, that we were just disgruntled voters.
Well, Dr. J. Bhattacharya was very upset, and he is not going to let this thing lie. I believe he's a doctor from UCSF, and he is
which
pushing
he shouldn't,
this thing all the way through.
Because this is really big, they can censor them. Which we know they were censoring a lot of other things, but this is a big deal. It most certainly is.
And that story made the cut because if they're censoring about coronavirus, they're going to censor about what's going on in the monetary system. They're censoring everything else that's going on.
Exactly.
So there is relevance
as long
there.
As the narrative doesn't suit them.
Right. So Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida is opposed to the introduction of central bank digital currencies, hooray, and believes they should be prohibited. He shares the concerns of CBDC critics who argue that government-controlled digital money is a powerful surveillance tool, it is, and that influential circles support it for this reason. DeSantis wants to prevent this from happening in Florida and has urged state lawmakers to ensure that the Uniform Commercial Code, which are the laws for corporations, cannot be changed to adopt a U.S. or foreign-issued CBDC. And can we listen to clip six, please?
While protecting against government surveillance over your personal finances. But our legislation shouldn't stop there. Given the continued increase in Chinese influence in worldwide affairs and increase in plans to adopt CBDC worldwide, our legislation also prohibits any CBDC issued by a foreign reserve or government-sanctioned central bank. This will ensure that any effort to adopt a worldwide digital currency will never occur in the free state of Florida. I mean, look, ultimately, cash is king. I mean, if you can hold it in your hand, you have power over that. The minute it's all digitized, somebody else is going to have control over that. And it's just a question of, are they going to let you live your life? Or are they going to decide to do things to circumvent what you want to do? And think about what we've already seen in Canada. You remember when the truckers were protesting the vax mandates, you know, they had banks. Some of the government seized some of their banks. You had charities that were trying to help these guys, and that was frozen. So we've already seen government really overstep its bounds as it is in the banking situation and financial sector that we have now. Can you imagine if we went to something like a central bank digital currency? It's really important that states stand up to fight back against some of the things that are going on in Washington because they don't have your best interests at heart.
He goes on to say he's unconvinced by the Fed's claims that a digital dollar would benefit the underbanked and the environment. DeSantis also warns of the consequences of introducing CBDCs, citing China, the Bahamas, and Nigeria, which already use digital currencies to track citizens' behavior and monitor spending habits.
Okay, and I think we'll take a break, and then we will continue the rest of our news. You are listening to Tokens Radio Show on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, and we'll see you in 3 minutes.
We fight. KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Betsy has a scratch.
Who has a what?
Betsy, my car. She has a big old scratch on her side. Honey, I've had her since college.
I know, honey. Take her to Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. It's going to be okay. Remember, that's where you told me to take my car because they do minor and major auto body repair and full paint jobs. And it looks like she could use one.
Crossroads Auto Body Repair.
You know they do free estimates. Call 530-226-0992. Write it down.
Got it. 530-226-0992.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
Well, welcome back. If you want to call in, the phone number here is 530-605-4567. And so we are going to pick up the rest of the news that we were working on before the break. So the next one we have is a bill that was introduced into Texas State House of Representatives that aims to fully protect and welcome Bitcoin economy in the state. The bill was sponsored by Republican Cody Harris and co-authored by the Bitcoin Policy Institute, Natalie Smolenski and Jason Brett. Highlights the Chinese government's ban on Bitcoin mining and trading in 2021 as an authoritarian form of rule that goes against the values of the United States. The bill proposed that Texas should apply its principles regarding items of value as outlined in the Texas Constitution to Bitcoin. Interesting concept, huh? Mm-hmm. It expresses support for protecting individuals who code or develop on the Bitcoin network and ensures that individuals who mine Bitcoin in Texas will never be inhabited by any law or resolution. The bill also seeks to extend the protections afforded to physical possessions to digital possessions, including cryptocurrency.
Yep.
It concludes by welcoming those who work on Bitcoin coding, programming, and mining to Texas and promising to protect their rights to possess and use Bitcoin in their state.
I love this push and pull. We have
regulators of the likes of Elizabeth Warren, who does not want this.
Right.
And then we have the other side, and I love seeing this push and pull. Bitcoin's going to succeed. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, and Texas is on the verge on a lot of stuff, whether it comes...
Wyoming.
Yeah.
South Dakota, you name it.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And another Bitcoin story. On March 21st, a newly submitted resolution, H.R. 238, expresses the importance of proof-of-work mining used for certain cryptocurrencies, such as Bitcoin, to the United States' ability to achieve its energy goals and grow its economy. Sounds like they've been reading Jason Lowry.
Yeah.
It highlights that proof-of-work mining is an essential process that allows for a blockchain network to remain trusted, open, and decentralized. While acknowledging that proof-of-work mining does require energy consumption, the resolution argues that many of the concerns are unwarranted since proof-of-work mining energy usage is transparent and verifiable. The resolution also notes that proof-of-work mining seeks out low-cost energy, contributes to grid stability, and can reduce methane emissions by using stranded or wasted methane as a fuel source. It's what we've been talking about for a long time.
Yes, we have. And Texas is using that source.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can bring out a trailer, hook it up at a source, have a little substation, and you are good
to
go.
You're rock and rolling.
The resolution further argues that proof-of-work mining can facilitate energy development and improve U.S. energy independence and national security. Finally, the resolution suggests that the U.S. should invest in the digital asset industry to promote sustainable job growth and innovative development.
All right. Docket number OP-1670. On interbank settlement of faster payments. The Federal Reserve Board announced the introduction of a new 24/7 real-time payment and settlement service called the FedNow service. Yeah, drum roll. To facilitate faster payments in the United States. This move is seen as a response to the threat posed by digital currency and blockchain technology.
Yeah.
The Feds believe that this effort requires a proof of authority quantum computing based blockchain system. Confidential research papers have been sent to select members of the House Financial Service Committee expressing concerns over income inequality and fears of Bitcoin.
Oh gosh.
One paper argues that the ethical and monetary functionality of cryptocurrency is superior to that of paper money, and eventually cryptocurrency will dominate. The other paper suggests that the Federal Reserve Board focus on using an enhanced Bitcoin blockchain to promote
ubiquitous,
safe, and efficient, faster payments in the United States. Try to say all that fast.
Yep.
It is believed that the Fed is advancing for money as a means of social control. The Fed has also implemented a zero reserve banking policy instead of fractional reserve banking, which is seen in aiding the goal of using money as a means of social control.
It means there you don't have to put any reserves away.
I don't have anything.
There's nothing to zero reserve.
So if
you don't put anything away to cover.
So if you want your stuff, you're out of luck.
Right.
Pretty much.
Well,
shall we
cut seven?
Dude, cut seven.
You simply flooded the system with money.
Yes, we did.
Where does it come from? Do you just print it?
We print it digitally. So we as a central bank, we have the ability to create money.
Yes, they do. And that's exactly what they plan to do with FedNow.
And that's what they've been kind of doing.
And to finish off the news, here's a cut from an instructor at Gallagher University. In less than a minute and a half, he sums up everything.
Here you go.
So I put $10,000 into the bank. They take my $10,000 and they go get $100,000. They borrow it from the Fed window. They get 10 times the amount of our deposits that we put into the bank. They then get 10 times the amount. They then take that 10 times the amount and they put it into treasury bonds or something else that's going to give them a yield of 7% or 6%. While they pay us what? 0.0000 nothing percent. Right. And then what happens? We get hit to it and say, hey, Mr. Silicon Valley Bank, can I have my money back? Oh, we don't have it right now. I want my money back. I don't have it. Everybody, I want my money back. Give us our money back. Hold on. We got to go sell the treasury bonds that we invested in that now are upside down because the rates are through the roof. And I don't have your money. So what has to happen to their Ponzi scheme that I would have went to jail if I did that? They get bailed out. Mr. Biden comes up and says, oh, I'm going to print more money. I wonder why he's going to print more money. To devalue your dollar even more. Because guess what they're doing next to you? They're going to centralize banking. They're going to own crypto. They're going to regulate everything to be digital. So this is the first step to doing it. And they're going to own us.
Is a fact. We were just, those last two stories talk all about that.
That's a total control that they want over us, yes.
The Fed now, that was not happening, is happening.
Yes. Yeah, and that's supposed to roll out in July. So it's not like it's that far away, folks.
Yes.
So
the fire keeps coming.
Yep. Yes. All right. Yes. So I guess we need to shift gears a little bit now. And we're going to talk about Jack Mallers.
Mallers.
Mallers mm-hmm. is how you want to say it?
Yeah.
And he was interviewed a few days ago on CNBC. He talked about the Fed, Bitcoin, inflation, and its pure fire. We selected a few clips that we will enjoy later. But before we get to them, let me talk to you a little bit about who Jack is. Jack is a well-known entrepreneur, thank you, and software developer in the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency space. He is the founder and CEO of Zap, a company focused on developing software and services for Bitcoin and Lightning Network. Mallers is also known for creating Strike, a payment app that allows users to send and receive money instantly with no fees using the Lightning Network.
And Strike is a fantastic app.
Yes.
Mallers is a strong advocate for the use of Bitcoin and blockchain technology to create a more open and decentralized financial system. He's been involved in the Bitcoin community since 2013 and has spoken at numerous conferences and events on the topic of Bitcoin and the Lightning Network. Mallers is considered to be one of the leading figures in the Lightning Network community and has been instrumental in its development and adoption, and that's why he is on CNBC and Fox Business and all the news shows frequently. So we have this first cut here, and the Twitter feeds have been a Twitter, if you will, about the notion that Bitcoin will reach $1 million in 90 days. And that seems a bit far-fetched, but anything, I guess, is possible. But like most Bitcoiners, we feel Bitcoin will significantly increase in value. And in this cut, Jack is explaining why Bitcoin will indeed do that. And if you could play cut 9,
a banking crisis is deflationary. And so when I see Balaji and others saying Bitcoin's going to go to $1 million, it may go up, but that may be because of the Fed's response here. The 2010s were not hyperinflationary. There's no obvious reason why now would be hyperinflationary either.
There's a market term that's used here in Chicago a lot is demand finds supply. What do I mean by that? If Ken Griffin is going to want to buy the most expensive condo in America, someone will build it for him. Someone will put a 200 first floor in Miami's tallest building. If silver is going to 1,000x, I will walk into my kitchen right now. I will melt all my silverware and I will sell it at market. If gold is going to rally, Elon Musk will find more on Mars. This is a super important point. Bitcoin is the only monetary instrument in the history of our species that is fixed. It does not matter how much more demand comes into the asset class, Kelly. No one will ever be able to make more of it. There are two things I can guarantee you in my life. One, that I'll die, and the other, that there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin. And those are the two things that I can only value as my life and my Bitcoin. So it is the only fixed supply asset, Kelly. It's not that complicated. It's going to go up because everything else can be issued more.
Isn't that funny? Before we came on the air today, we were talking about the ability to find more supply for gold and silver. And we didn't reference Mars, but we did say Elon can go up into space and find what he needed.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of funny. We were talking about that just before. All right. In this other cut, Jack and Tyler Matheson, he asked why Bitcoin has a fixed supply of 21 million coins. So here you go. Here's the answer to that question. So
You've got to explain to me one thing. Why is the supply fixed? And is that because someone says it's fixed who could change their mind?
No, it's a great point and question, Tyler. It's because it's written in the software and the software is distributed. There is no one person to ask. There is no one person to trust. The whole decentralization, is it decentralized so that you could put pictures and NFTs on the blockchain? Is it decentralized so that you could fix gaming? No, it's decentralized so that the defendants of the monetary policy are distributed, is so that it's a network of computers that actually defend the policy and instrumentation of the monetary asset. That is not the case for Ethereum. That is not the case for any other altcoin. That is not the case for the U.S. dollar. That is not the case for Miami real estate. That is not the case for precious metals. It is the only monetary instrument that has its monetary policy distributed and defended
in a sound way.
He gets it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does.
Well, Tyler Matheson goes on to ask another question, and that's if Bitcoin software can be rewritten, in essence, creating a Bitcoin 2.0. And here's what Jack has to say.
Why couldn't the software be rewritten, or why couldn't the authors of the software or the guardians of the software write a new software that creates Bitcoin 2.0 with another supply of fixed supply of Bitcoin?
Yeah. So, Tyler, I run Bitcoin software, and someone tried to do this. I want you to Google Bitcoin Cash after this interview is over. Someone said, I want to change the rules of Bitcoin. I may want to create more of a supply. I may want to make it faster. I may want to make it do a backflip. I may make it want to store pictures of monkeys drooling on themselves on the blockchain. And they created it, and they created new rules, and they called it Bitcoin Cash. It's a different asset. It's a different instrument. And when someone tries to pay me in it, my software rules that I run in my home in a room over there says, nope, that's invalid. That thing is a piece of poop, and I don't accept it because it is invalidating the rules of the system that were set out by Satoshi Nakamoto over a decade ago. So you can create whatever you want. You want to create FedNow coin, flip a Dookie coin, I don't care. There's 21 million of the things that I run and that I protect and that I save in, and those rules were started a long time ago, and that's what the network runs. So if you change the rules, you're creating a different monetary asset and a different instrument. It doesn't matter.
I think it's interesting that Tyler Matheson says the guardians. And we all know that nobody runs Bitcoin. Nobody's in charge of Bitcoin. It is about validating the nodes, and the nodes are what validates the transactions. It's the miners running the nodes and those who have validator nodes.
Yeah, there's no king involved in this.
There are no guardians. You might guard your own node. You should guard your own Bitcoin. But there's no guardians, per se, in charge of Bitcoin.
Okay.
As I digress here.
Right. So then the interview kind of shifts with Jack, and he goes in to tell you about the recent Silicon Valley bank collapse. So here you go. This is what he has to say about what happened with the banks.
Jack, did you guys have any effect from SVB's collapse? I know, like you said, you're in Chicago. I don't know if you had any exposure there as sort of a startup, or obviously I would imagine maybe some other, you know, colleagues, clients, you name it. What do you make of all this?
Well, it doesn't matter, right, Kelly? Because the U.S. government, you either got to default on it or deflate it. And so they're backstopping everything. The spigots are wide open. Money printer is going burr. So it doesn't matter where your monies are held, is that the government's going to make you whole on it no matter what. The only thing that's clear to us and clear to our customers is you cannot hold and save in dollars anymore. I think that there's going to be a new era of the U.S. dollar where inflation will enter a normalized 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10%. The days of 2% inflation are over.
Yes, I would say so. It seemed like that got cut a little bit there. Okay. Well, that is true. We don't see inflation coming back to 2%. There's too much money supply out there. It's just not possible right now. And they have to increase the money supply to devalue the dollar so that they can keep this this charade going.
Yeah. So you mean to tell me the more money they supply out there doesn't make it better for us?
No. This is why your eggs are $8 a dozen.
Yeah. You know, but you would think, you know, for some people, I would think they think, oh, wow, they printed more money, so that means we get more money in our pockets. That's not what that means.
No.
It actually works the reverse.
When your home has gone up, your $150,000 house that's now worth $900,000 is not because the demand was so great. It's because the dollar is worth so much less.
Yeah. So, as one recent well-known person calls the dollar toilet paper nowadays. It's the toilet paper. Just remember, it's toilet paper.
I just can't believe of all the news that's coming out. We must have filtered through 35, 40 stories to come down with what the 10 or so that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And the story about the possible conspiracy of the Fed maybe taking out some banks that are threatening to the Fed. That's how threatening cryptocurrency is. I hate to say it, that's how threatening Donald J. Trump is.
Right.
To the Politico side of things.
Well, it makes it bad, like with the banks and stuff, people don't understand exactly, you know, in comparison with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, what it's actually doing, because they're making it look like cryptocurrency, quote unquote, Bitcoin and all that's bad. The only good cryptocurrency there is their CBDCs, when it's totally the opposite, like we know, just like they do with anything else, they lie about it.
Well, they want total control. They want to know everything that we're doing in our lives so that they can dictate and formulate how they view how we should live,
yeah,
how we should behave, what we should talk about, what we shouldn't talk about, whether our children, little boys, will become little girls, and so on and so on. It's absolutely an insane time that we're living in right now.
Yeah, they don't want us to be able to think or process anything on our own.
Well, didn't you know that we're not able of doing that? I don't know.
Yeah, but it's really crazy, like the surveillance piece of it, like with the CBDCs. People don't realize that's exactly what they're wanting to do.
Well, just look at the countries where they've been enabled now. China is the best example.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever get to see some of the video coverages of the drones that fly down the freeways, and it was especially during the lockdowns over there, and there would be an alert that came through the driver's cell phone, and if you got a yellow, you had a caution.
Oh, okay.
If you got a red, you better pull over because you didn't check in, or for some reason maybe you tested and you were positive, and you were not going to get through that checkpoint. You were going to spend some time in their little huts that they had set aside for you so that you can quarantine. I mean, this was real.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of totalitarian system that they're striving for. Look what happened in Canada during the trucker strike.
Mm-hmm.
So we give them the control to shut down our banking. This cannot go through. Bottom line, period, end of story. CBDCs cannot happen. Don't allow it to happen. You don't have to get physical or cause civil unrest. You can do this peacefully by just simply saying, no, I'm not going to use it, by preparing now.
Right. And it's really nice to see. I mean, we ran the piece on DeSantis out of Florida, but he's not the only one
that is
standing up and saying, no, I'm not allowing this to come into my state. I believe it's South Dakota's one, Texas is one, that they're saying, you know what, this isn't good. We're not going to allow this in our state on our people.
Yeah.
We want them to be free. We don't want to, you know what they're doing. We won't let you have total control. And that's where the power is anyway. It's the state. It's not the federal government. People must remember, it's the states and the people that have the power, not the government.
You know, it's interesting just to take a look back And here, just a year and a half ago, we were all talking about this crypto project, that crypto project. If people are,
can I make money over here?
Yeah, they're wheeling and dealing, and things are serious, and the camps are divided. And they're solid, and they're entrenched. The Bitcoiners are entrenched, and they're very serious. We were going to share an article by a very deep thinker that we actually thought the article was a bit on the woo-woo side.
Yes.
But it goes to show the deep thinking and the thought process about being having self-sovereignty, both in your own mindset, within your own personal integrity, self-sovereignty in terms of you, you custodying your own crypto, yeah, your own Bitcoin,
you have the
whatever
keys.
Else that you hold. You have the coin, you have the keys, you own your coin.
Right. And just to kind of look at the article a little bit to put it out there, you know, so many people think that Bitcoin is just, you know, a fantasy. It's not real, you know, and I was guilty of that in the beginning too.
Oh, I did.
Because,
that, yeah.
You're thinking, yeah, it's just, you know, a couple digits on a
just
computer.
A digital piece of poop.
Yep, exactly. There's nothing behind it that, you know, whatever. But that is not true at all. It is reality. Right. It really is. It's just a different way of you're having to think. It's not the traditional way of thinking when it comes to that.
And when you bring in Jason Lowry's thesis, I mean, we've mentioned this many times before, that this is beyond currency. It is a national security technology. It is made by technologies, by our Defense Department, by DARPA.
Right.
All of the technologies that were wrapped into Bitcoin. So it would make sense. It took a while to get there and to understand his reasoning behind it, but he calls it soft war.
Right.
Because we've really gotten to a point to where how much more kinetic energy can we use? I mean, we're at a point where we can literally annihilate all of humanity if we want to. If Russia presses a button and lobs some nuclear weapons, there's going to be a counterattack and there's going to be a lot of people who die.
Unfortunately,
and there will be lands and food and all sorts of things that will not be usable for I don't know how many years, especially with all that kind of radiation out there. So that's not something we want. There's another way to counter that.
Yeah. And like you were said earlier about being prepared, you know, you can still be prepared. I mean, we see everything's going to change. We know things are going to change. We know things aren't that good. But you can do certain steps to prepare yourself so maybe it's not as bad. You know, set yourself up. You have to no matter what. I mean, that's part of what we do, the education piece, whether it's gold, silver, Bitcoin, you know, food storage, the parallel economy, all of it. It takes all of us to work all those angles to make it a little bit better on the other side.
We're going
to
have an announcement about the parallel economy.
Yes, we are. Coming
next week.
Yes,
so
coming
stay
soon
tuned
to
for
you.
That.
All
so
right.
I think that we're coming up to our last goodbye. Okay.
All right.
And with that, we'll see you next week.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. Do some looking up on Bitcoin.
The government which governs best governs least. So in this very critical type of property we call money, the most important form of property in the world, this is another way to look at Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, very simply, is the government that governs least. It just gives you strong property in your money, and that's it.
Now climb aboard, y'all. This train is bound for glory. And there's plenty of room for all. Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain. Oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain, till everybody everybody knows till everybody knows your name. Down the road it will be told about the death of old Mt. Gox, about traders trading altar coins and miners mining blocks. But them good old boys...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.